Well, my friend, it's that time of the week. Of course, and it's always that time of the week. Wednesdays, to health with you. No, I'm not being sarcastic when I utter those words, for that is the meaning of what we typically do on Wednesdays. My concern is for your health, my health. Jeffrey Bennett here on this third day of August. More than happy to be here. Over this past week, I have been dealing with some exceedingly frustrating 24-hour periods. Not necessarily sleeping well at night, sometimes an hour, hour and a half, if that. Sometimes I'm up for 2 days straight. Sometimes I take several naps during the course of the day, which has slowed up my ability to keep our websites updated and current and do enough posting. But something has come to pass, some information. There's a very large new study that has recently come out that states people who often nap have a greater chance of developing high blood pressure and having a stroke. Oh, yes. They're claiming that napping regularly links to high blood pressure and stroke. And this may be because, although taking a nap itself is not harmful, many people who take naps may do so because of poor sleep at night. Poor sleep at night is associated with poorer hair health. Naps are just not enough to make up for that. That, according to clinical psychologist Michael Grandner, who's the director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Clinic at the Banner University Medical Center in Tucson, Arizona. Interestingly enough, Grandner was not involved with the study. And yet, what did we find in this study is that the participants who typically nap during the day were 12% more likely to develop high blood pressure over time, and were 24% more likely to have a stroke compared with people who never napped. If the person was younger than 60, napping most days raised the risk of developing high blood pressure by 20%. 20%! Compared with people who never or rarely napped, which is where I certainly was a year ago. I rarely napped. All of this, according to this new study published recently in Hypertension, an American Heart Association journal. Now, the AHA, that's American Heart Association, recently added sleep duration as one of its 8 essential metrics to optimal heart and brain health. Now, the results held true even after researchers excluded people at high risk for hypertension, such as those with type 2 diabetes, existing high blood pressure, high cholesterol, sleep disorders, and folks who did night shift work. Night shift? What, am I supposed to bring out a song from the Commodores? No, that's another story. So Dr. Phyllis Z, director of the Center for Circadian and Sleep Medicine at Northwestern University, the Feinberg School of Medicine in Chicago, states that the results demonstrate that napping increases the incidence of hypertension and stroke after adjusting or considering many variables known to be associated with risk for cardiovascular disease or stroke. She continues by saying that from a clinical standpoint, I think it highlights the importance for healthcare providers to routinely ask patients about napping and excessive daytime sleepiness and evaluate for other contributing conditions to potentially modify the risk for cardiovascular disease. Now, this study was used on 360,000 participants who had given information on their napping habits to the UK Biobank, a large biomedical database and research resource which followed British residents from 2006 to 2010. And what the claim is, longer naps are worse. Now, people in the UK study provided blood, urine, and saliva samples on a regular basis. And they answered questions on napping four times over the four-year study. And yet the study only collected nap frequency, not duration. And it relied on self-reports of napping, a limitation due to imperfect recall. Dr. Raj Dasgupta of the University of Southern California states that taking a regular lengthy nap may be a sign of an underlying sleep disorder. But he goes on to say that they did not define what a nap should be. He's talking about the British study. If you're going to be sleeping for an hour, 2 hours, for example, that's not really a nap. Now, Dr. Dasgupta is an associate professor of clinical medicine at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California, who continues to say that a refreshing power nap that is 15 to 20 minutes around noon to 2 p.m. is 100% the way to go if you're sleep deprived. If you have chronic insomnia, we do not encourage napping because it takes away the drive to sleep at night. Now, in a very unusual manner, that's not uncommon for me. I've not been one to necessarily sleep at night up until just months ago. Very common for me to be up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, but not just awake. I was working on websites, doing updating, doing prep for programs, doing a lot of things like that. Not uncommon. And I would go to bed 2, 3 o'clock, but I would be up at by 6 o'clock because I had my granddaughter to get to school, whatever the case may happen to be. A lot of these things have changed now. I don't necessarily have to get up that early. Oh, I did yesterday. I had to be up by 5 o'clock. I had to go deliver a goal of yellow canaries to a client of mine, a long-term client of mine. And but I took the stuff out to him. He and I sat there and talked for a half an hour, but totally unrelated issues. At which time I got in the car, headed back to the home office, took care of a couple things here, got up, went out to a credit union, take care of some business over there, came back here, stopped off at home, do a couple of other things, picked up, went off to the post office, had to check some mail, moderate mail in. I think I shipped some stuff off. I can't even remember. Then I had to go down to a different credit union to make a deposit, and then realized I had forgotten to drop some letters off that had to go out in yesterday's mail. So I did that, and I did this, and I did this. I had to stop and get something to eat. I had to stop at Walgreens to pick up a prescription, but as soon as I found out what it was, I said, no, I let it be known last month. Cancel that prescription. I do not want it any longer. So by the time it was over and done with, I'd already been up for about 6.5 hours. And I was beat to death. Thank God I had yesterday's program ready to go, Jack. So we continue on with our sleep story. You see, most people in the studies who took regular naps smoked cigarettes. They drank daily, they snored, they had insomnia, they reported being an evening person. Well, I make no bones about it. I smoke cigarettes less than half what I did a year ago. I've not had a drink of alcohol in a considerable period of time. Not drinking much coffee anymore. That's driving me nuts. But that's a story for another part of a program, I guess. I don't know. But many of these factors should impact a person's quality and quantity of slumber. That, according to Dasgupta. Dasgupta says poor sleep causes excessive daytime fatigue, which can result in excessive napping during the day. I don't know what excessive is. It comes and goes with me. I may pass out for an hour, maybe a half hour, maybe a couple of hours. He concludes by saying that I do believe that napping is a warning sign of an underlying sleeping disorder in certain individuals. Okay? Sleep disorders are linked to an increase in stress and weight regulation hormones, which can lead to obesity. And I guarantee you this much, that ain't been happening to me. I've actually lost probably 60 pounds since all of this business has been going on with me. I'm holding steady. But then, of course, he continues talking about that on top of the weight regulation hormones, they can lead to obesity, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, all risk factors for heart disease. And so I share these thoughts and comments with you because of my concern for my friends, my listeners. This particular piece that I've just shared with you is posted on drkelly.net. It is the second publication at the top of the page, called Napping Regularly is Linked to High Blood Pressure and Stroke. So my suggestion is that if you have friends, if you had relatives, people that you have concerns for dealing with some of these issues, not that there's a resolve in this particular article, but it's really more of a warning. It's a consideration to look at. I would strongly recommend passing this on to them. It's for their benefit. It's not for mine. It's not for economic purposes or anything else. I think most of you realize by now, after all these years on the air, yeah, I make a living being on the air occasionally. But our concern is to get the information out so that people can help themselves. Interesting, huh? Stay with us. Are you awake, Michael? Where's our tune? There we go. Stay with us. Be back in a minute or so.
I love tea. I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jaffa and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Jaffa sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. Oh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug. And I cut a rug till I'm snug in a jug. A slice of onion and a raw one.
Draw one.
Waiter, waiter, percolator.
I love coffee, I love tea. I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jive and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boston bean.
Soybean.
I said the little itty bitty green bean.
Cabbage and greens.
You know that I'm not kidding about a bean. Unless it is a chili, chili bean.
Talk it, boy.
I love Java sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie.
Yeah.
You shoot me the pie, now pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup of that sand
muscle. Ooh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug. And I'll cut a rug that's snug in a jug. Drop your nickel in my pot, Joe.
Taking it slow.
Bennett, what in the world are you doing? I love coffee.
I love tea.
I love that Jaffa Jive. It loves me. Unbelievable. Yeah. Let me tell you what this is about. The time that I had the heart attack last September, I'm not complaining to you. I'm sharing with you examples of some of the information that's handed out. What are you supposed to eat? What are you supposed to drink? Oh, my God, don't let him drink coffee. Well, I would get up in the morning and I finally backed off the coffee and I started having some decaf. And then I began to learn that decaf has got a lot of junk in it that you don't want to be sticking in your body, you understand, Jim? And this doctor and this nurse, oh, don't let him have coffee. Oh, no, he can't have coffee. Coffee's no good for him. Oh, no, it'll do this. It'll do that. And then you go on to another doctor, same thing. Everybody's giving the same song and dance, except that you begin to do some interesting study on a number of other things. And it becomes, what's the word I'm looking for? Somewhat contradictory to what the doctors are dishing out. And we're going to spend some time talking about this issue for most of the rest of this program. Oh, and by the way, the song that we opened with, of course, is Java Jive by the Manhattan Transfer. Now, most of you know my warped sense of humor. I actually began looking for a different song that I was going to air, but the quality was not the same as this, but it sent a different kind of message. It was Betty Boop singing Poo Poo Ba Doop, or whatever the heck the darn song was called. Why was I considering using Betty Boop? Well, because we're going to attempt to answer a question here for this program. It's not meant to be satirical, but I've got to inject some of this in here. Come on, folks. I mean, wake up. Why does coffee make you poop? What? Bennett, why would you spend time talking about an issue like this? Well, let's approach it. First of all, drinking coffee might kick your colon into gear. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of research that explains why. For some people, coffee jumpstarts their bowel movements in addition to their energy. Interesting. I have been holding back to one cup of coffee a day for many months. Oh, no, I got off the phony coffee. I went back to regular coffee. Unfortunately, it's instant. And I made a decision. I'm going to get off my wife's instant coffee. I'm going back to real coffee. I'm going to make a small partial pot. No, not the kind you smoke, the kind you drink. And part of my gear was this. I have been, even though I've been taking prescribed medicine to assist me in the poopification situation, I find that sometimes it just ain't cutting the mustard. It ain't doing the job it's supposed to do. Maybe my body has become so accustomed to it that it blocks me. So I made my cup of coffee this morning. Didn't particularly do much of anything. Maybe I haven't been eating all that well. I can't even remember what I ate for dinner last night. And then something kicked into me a little bit earlier this afternoon, decided to go make a second cup of coffee. Now, that's the first time I've done that in a long time. And guess what? Betty Boop. Poop-poop-a-doop, baby. You see, to revert back to the comment about for some people, coffee jumpstarts their bowel movements in addition to their energy. My energy's been pumped ever since I did this. It's great. But keep in mind, despite the drink's popularity, there isn't a lot of research on why coffee sends many people running to the bathroom within minutes of consuming it. In some cases, As with coffee and bowel movements, there likely just hasn't been the medical demand to merit serious investigation. Those words from Dr. Kyle Stoller, director of the Gastrointestinal Motility Laboratory at Massachusetts General Hospital. Now, in my personal opinion, I hate the term gastrointestinal because it's part of the issues I'm having to deal with the prostate and the other nonsense I'm going out with. I'm tired of it all. Maybe I never should have gotten off the coffee. I should have stayed at it. Maybe I wouldn't be having all these problems. But you see, all this could be a case of obviousness, meaning it doesn't take multiple studies to know that coffee induces bowel movements when it's such a part of many people's daily lives. I mean, keep this in mind. Coffee's effect on colon activity might have more to do with special compounds than just caffeine. You know, there just might be something special about coffee after all. And the research that exists proves that patients are right. That according to Stoller, an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. There are some small studies which have shown that drinking coffee was more effective than warm water at inducing bowel movements. And that's saying something, since water is an integral part of normal digestion, with large amounts being released and reabsorbed by your digestive tract every day. But my problem is, given what I'm going through with my catheter and the prostate issues, which I think have been greatly expanded by the insertion of this catheter and allowing it to remain there for these 11 months. As a matter of fact, it's been 11 months yesterday. God, you son of a... Anyway, I'll be a nice guy. Now, keep in mind that the amount of water that I have to drink each and every day is so profound. It's far more than I've ever drank. It's crazy. But all of these things don't necessarily mean that adequate water intake isn't essential for our overall health. We realize that. About 60% of our body is made of water. That according to Gerlin Jones, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and spokesperson for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. And whether coffee is caffeinated or decaffeinated doesn't seem to matter in all studies. That according to other research, suggesting that, well, in some cases, coffee compounds besides caffeine might be responsible for sudden bowel movements. Well, I must share with you that just because I have a cup of coffee doesn't mean I'm going poop-poop-a-doop. Thank you, Betty Boop. That doesn't happen, but it releases things within the body. Look, one of the issues I've dealt with this catheter, one of the issues I've dealt with colon situations, which is the other surgery that's I'm facing here in the near future, is that there are times I cannot poop-poop-a-doop because my bladder is so full that it's expanding out and preventing poopage. I'm not trying to be satirical here. It's a way for people to understand what we're talking about. And when the poopage expands, it blocks off the bladder. So neither one can do what it has to do. So I'm beginning to realize that releasing one helps the release of the other. So I'll do what I got to do, Jack, and if that means having a cup of coffee, I'm going to do it. I got to make sure the wife's going to work. You can't be drinking coffee. The doctor said no coffee. Shut up. I don't want to hear what the doctor has to say because not all of these doctors are right or can be right all the time. Now, once again, whether the coffee is caffeinated or decaffeinated, according to studies, doesn't matter. The claims that coffee compounds besides caffeine, as we mentioned, might be responsible for sudden bowel movements. and the identities of those compounds and how they might interact with the digestive tract are still largely unknown. But let's share with you what researchers have discovered thus far. The colon experiences three types of contractions, which work together to mix, to knead, K-N-E-A-D, and ultimately eject poop. And the occurrence, the timing, the frequency of these contractions are influenced by muscular, neural, and chemical factors. Now, keep in mind, coffee might stimulate this colonic motor activity within minutes of consuming it, based on the limited available research. 12 healthy people experienced this activity during a 1998 study when they agreed to have a sensor probe inserted into their colons. No thanks. Now, over a 10-hour period the next day, the participants consumed warm coffee, decaf coffee, water, or a meal in random order. Both types of coffee and a meal cause more colon contractions and pressure compared with water. Caffeinated coffee was 60% more effective than water at stimulating colonic motor activity and 23% more impactful than decaf. I mean, I've still got a bunch of decaf here, and it doesn't taste all that bad. I can absorb it, but I'm beginning to find that we're having better results in going in other directions. Now, there were multiple participants of another study who said that drinking coffee gave them the urge to poop, and then went through a similar test. Their colon activity increased within 4 minutes of drinking unsweetened black coffee, an effect that lasted at least 30 minutes. Now, here's something interesting. I did not drink coffee when I was in the military. I might have an occasional cup if it were cold outside or something like that when I was stationed in Germany. Okay, never drank coffee when I was in Vietnam. And I don't think I began to drink coffee until the 1980s when I was a part owner of a telecommunications company in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I'd been with the company for 5 years, thereabouts. And we decided to build a building of our own instead of renting. And interestingly enough, on the 5th anniversary of the day that I joined the company, we turned the shovels. I joined the company as an employee and negotiated my way into a position of ownership. It was an amazing relationship, an amazing 10 years of my life. But it was not until we actually moved into that new building that we now own that I began to drink coffee. But it was not uncommon for me to, when I was involved with major projects, to stay all night. I had a sofa bed, a hide a bed that I'd brought into my office. I had my own private office, just like my partner did. I got involved with a very intense project for the Flagstaff Public School System, in addition to work that we had done for the city of Flagstaff with communications that tied all the schools together and or all the various city buildings together as related to their project. These were not simple bids. They were very in-depth, involved projects. I found that I could work better at night when no technicians were around, nobody answering the phone, the phones weren't ringing, blah, 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 blah. I guess that's how I got into these habits of working the outrageous hours that I reach. And I began to drink coffee during those last 5 years. I've never stopped since. There was a point in time I drank probably 2 pots of coffee a day. By the way, in the early years, all I drank was black coffee. It wasn't until years later that I may add a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Not really into cream and coffee. But I did use a form of sugar that was unbelievably natural, that had not been processed and gone through all the junk. But not crazy. So all of these different things did so much. The kind of results that we shared with you about one of these studies, as they say, meant that coffee wasn't directly contacting the colon's lining, but rather it was affecting it through a gastrocolic mechanism, meaning that coffee contacting the stomach lining triggered either the nervous system or hormonal response, which caused the colon to start contracting. Colon contractions move stool in the colon towards the rectum, and voila, you have the urge to have a bowel movement. Or, once again, as Betty Boop sing, poo-poo-ba-doop, or something like that. Then there's something called melanoidins. These are compounds formed during coffee roasting. They have dietary fiber, which also helps digestion and prevents constipation. And all of these things could affect hormones and stomach acid. Coffee appears to also stimulate release of the hormone gastrin, enables production of gastric acid, or what we know as stomach acid. And stomach acid helps digest the food, might urge colonic activity. Researchers discovered back in 1986 that drinking caffeinated or decaf coffee affected gastrin levels quickly and significantly. I wonder why that is. Decaf coffee, or caffeinated. Understandable. They both seem to cause a positive reaction. Now, after fasting overnight, meaning no sleep, you know, this, that, and the other thing, men in a small 2009 study received either a meal and black coffee or just a meal. But drinking the coffee significantly sped up the time it took for food to leave the stomach and enter the small intestine after the meal times. And of course, let's face it, if it moves into the small intestine a little bit more rapidly, it's coming out a little bit more rapidly, right? Because some compounds in coffee may also interact with the opioid receptor in the GI tract, which affect bowel function. Of course, then we deal with dairy and digestive health. Maybe some of you are lactose intolerant and yet still enjoy dairy creamer with a side of coffee. The creamer could be the culprit behind any sudden urges to poop. Only one way to find out what is making you go to the bathroom is to drink coffee without dairy creamer or milk and track your symptoms for just a few days. And then maybe go back and try it the other way and see if it speeds the process up. You see, research does suggest some digestive benefits of drinking coffee. Should your regular morning coffee be what you use to stay regular? If you're constipated, drinking coffee to help move things along isn't unreasonable. But don't rely on it consistently to move your bowels. Speak to your medical doctor if you are having problems going to the bathroom regularly. Yeah, well, I know what'll happen if I have that conversation with my doctor. Unbelievable. Now, having said that, give me a second here. My warped sense of humor is don't rely. It's been recommended that slowly increasing your dietary fiber intake with fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, nuts, and seeds. The average American adult consumes only 12 to 14 grams of fiber a day, and the 2020 to 2025 Dietary Guidelines for Americans recommends 20 to 30 grams of fiber a day for adults. You see, people prone to having loose or urgent bowel movements may want to consider that coffee can be a trigger for those unpleasant events as well. In the words of Betty Boop, poop poop a doop. Be back.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Jaffa Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Jaffa and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Jaffa sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Oh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug, and I cut a rug till I'm snug in a jug. A slice of onion and a raw one.
Draw one.
Waiter, waiter, percolator.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the Java Jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the Java and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
Boston beans.
Soybeans.
I said the little itty bitty green beans.
Cabbage and greens.
You know that I'm not keen about a bean. Unless it is a chili, chili bean.
Talk it, boy.
I love Java, sweet and high. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pie.
Yeah.
You shoot me the pie, now pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup of that sand bottle.
Ooh, slip me a slug from that wonderful mug, and I'll cut a rug that's snug in a jug. Drive your nickel in.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419. How does $49,000 relate to $7 trillion? I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. $7.1 trillion is what our federal government has authorized to spend on COVID one way or another so far. That number goes up every time Biden announces the next free test or free pill or free mask or free jab. But let's stick with $7.1 trillion for now. There were 144.3 million taxpayers last year. Let's do some math. Total COVID spending divided by the total number of taxpayers equals how much COVID has cost you. And that is $49,203. Remember, every billion the government spends costs you $7, and every trillion costs you $7,000. How long before the government demands your portion of the national debt? $243,000. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem Parabellum.
Welcome back, my friends. One of those exceedingly rare occasions was I actually go for a break. Unusual. Part of the reason for that was is what I'd planned on doing for the program, I've used it up. And didn't really have anything else to pick it up with, but I do have something. And it's interesting because of the commercial we've just listened to about this massive expense that we're having to fund for COVID and all this junk and free jabs and of course Joey's got COVID again. What do you mean again? He never got rid of it. But then he's brain dead, so that's another story. If I had a dollar for every person who has a related story about what we're going to share with you now, maybe about a friend whose cancer was in remission before the COVID jabs and then became uncontrollable shortly after the jab. You see, cancers, my friends, have come back with a vengeance. It's become amazingly common after the COVID vaccine. Oh, yeah, once they started jabbing people. Yeah, they jabbed us all right. The database shows the rate of cancer is now up 3 times. After the COVID vaccines rolled out. Thanks to COVID vaccines, the military's cancer rate has more than tripled. You go out there speaking with people like Ryan Cole. He believes that this is primarily due to accelerating existing cancers, ones that people already knew that they had, or recent cancers that people never realized were there. These are not necessarily creating new cases of cancer. Ryan Cole's a doctor who said that the patient will get 2, 3, 5, 6 years of good life. They've got their shot. They got their booster. And then 2 months later, their cancer became a wildfire. That's profound. The doctor received a couple of emails on February, which are representative of comments that he sees all the time. One of the comments that I watched the second opinion was wondering if they found any information on something that was talked about. topic he was interested in is the untranslated human genes added to the mRNA vaccines that were being discussed as possibly adversely affecting how the immune system goes after cancer cells, all in order to reduce the inflammatory response to the vaccine. The person states, I've seen several articles published with this case study specific patients who had a massive progression of their cancer post-vaccine. Another person stated briefly, I know two people personally who now have cancer that's pretty serious. I was talking to my doc yesterday and she said one of her patients was diagnosed on Monday and dead by Thursday. I had no previous cancer. This is profound. You read the other comments that people leave. Stacy said this, I know three people whose cancer was in remission, got the jab, their cancer came back with a vengeance. Two now dead, third back on systemic chemo. I fear for my other friends with the BRCA gene. And Nicola says, also people in remission for one type of cancer, then develop an unrelated cancer. Friend to friend was in remission. And then after Vax developed a sudden cancer in her eye socket that doctors said was very rare. Spread quickly to the bone and the blood. Barbara says, my grown sibling took all Vax's mandated for work and recently had benign neck tumor removed. Not cancerous, but no history of it prior either. I would not be quick to state that jabs which greatly disable main DNA repair not likely to cause new cancers people otherwise wouldn't have. And a guy who signs himself in is Steve McGarrett. Never mind, I'm thinking of an old TV show. Anyway, Steve says, it happened to my mom. Not so much as a cancer comeback, but a cancer appearing completely out of the blue. Between stage 4 cancer from the moment it was discovered, coupled with a massive brain clot and stroke, the damnable shot killed her a few months ago. Dan says, my 85-year-old dad had no cancer in January of 2020, had CT scans done before gallbladder surgery, got vaxxed. October 2021, had a softball-sized tumor removed from his abdomen. December 31st, stage 4 liver and lung cancer, died January 28th of 2022. And Ann Baldwin says, my father's wife got diagnosed with leukemia shortly after getting the jab. The bottom line, my friends, is don't be surprised when after the jab you suddenly have a relapse or a new cancer. Other evidence that had been reported earlier to show that colon cancer report rates were up 65 times normal. And no one can or will even attempt to explain that. More evidence, 16 people that this writer knows of who had their existing cancer exacerbated after vaccine. In all but three cases, the person is now dead. 16 people. And in all but three cases, the rest are dead. It's unbelievable. And interestingly enough, the USA Today actually got involved and collected further evidence. All of this is profound, my friends. Now, here's a person who says, I have a contrary example. Her name is Katie. A friend has had stage 4 pancreatic for several years. She's had 4 jabs, gains 15 pounds, looks better than she did last year. I've wondered if the vax has had a positive effect in her case. I know of someone else with 3 jabs, developed stage 4 lung cancer that was so rare docs had to research it. Nikita says the N95 mask does work. Certainly some protection is better than none. Do not mix personal preference with data you provide regarding safety for others. If you understand how the N95 works and that if properly fitted, worn, sanitized, re-sanitized, the mask will provide quite a bit of protection. As for getting sick from carbon dioxide, Nikita says, reduce oxygen and your own germs. Realize that sanders, drywall people, surgeons, painters have worn the N95 for a long time, and there have not been massive illnesses due to the N95. plus all N95 masks are not equal, so don't stereotype. We've got over a dozen large-scale studies in our database. Be accurate. If you're not offering people any alternative protection, you are placing them at increased risk. More and more things of this nature go on. And yet the number of cancer deaths, etc., has come about of this is uncalled for. All of a sudden, out of the clear blue, this is insane. Absolutely insane. Other headlines, unprecedented deaths in Indiana for ages of 18 to 64 are up 40%. Huge. He says something is killing healthy people at an unprecedented rate. It isn't COVID. Could it be the safe and effective COVID vaccine? I think. These are from Steve Kirsch. Another headline, new studies show that COVID vaccines damage your immune system, likely permanently. And we also find that pathology results showed 93% of people who died after being vaccinated were in fact killed by the vaccination. Where do all these things come from? There's a man named Steve Kirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H. There's a website, stevekirsch.substack, one word, S-U-B-S-T-A-C-K.com. It's called Steve Kirsch's newsletter. I take offense with the two people in particular who've come back and countered it all. Obviously, at least one of them is a doctor or a nurse. It's profound to see things like this. Unreal. Kirsch also has done some videos on Epoch TV, EPOC.TV. Interesting stuff to look at. I get concerned for health in general. There were 752 comments left on Kirsch's website when he posted this. I have no idea how many there are at this point in time, but it's extensive. 750 comments. I'm sure it's both sides of the issue. My director of our research team would like to write for your newsletter. Oh, Nikita just babbles on and on and on. Lorraine Uzzolano says, free from breast cancer for 12 years, got the COVID vaccines in February and March 2021. In August, I had elevated cancer markers in my blood. By September, she was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer in her bones. Lorraine says, I feel it's not my responsibility to warn all my friends of the possibility that someone they know may be on the same path. Most cancers have no symptoms until it's too late. Get the word out. Barbara Douglas, a parish nurse in an inner city church, says we got our first vaccine injury call for help Thursday the 10th. She's out of money, been fighting to survive since the place she worked closed its doors January of last year. April 2021, got her first clot shot. May 2021, 1 month later, she got the second. And in September, she got boosted. 5 days after the second shot, she started having strokes. And after the booster, she's had so many now that doctors lost count. 52 years of age, will never work again. And Barbara Douglas says, I'm truly afraid of what's in store for all of us because even the unvaxxed will be affected. God, please help us and show us what to do. Holy White says, I'm 63 years of age. Always believed in natural remedies. I just can't believe all these people forcing these untested shots on people. An the list goes on and on and on. Diana says, I personally know someone whose cancer was in remission till he got the jab, almost died afterwards, is still struggling to hold on to life. And Diana says, myself, I'm now struggling after 3.5 weeks to recover from my own case of the virus after giving therapeutic massage to a long-term care resident 2 to 3 days after his booster. I began having symptoms 2 days later. And it's been very difficult, ranging from cold-like symptoms to a loss of balance to extraordinarily painful muscle spasms in my upper body. And I've been on the official protocol against COVID for several months and have not had any shots. My instinct is that my close proximity to the client exposed me to the heavy viral load through shedding. And it goes on and on and on. And believe me, the majority of the columns that I'm scanning through are supporting of the writing of Kirsch. There's too much of it out there, my friends. So you've had a mixed bag tonight. A little bit of poop-poop-a-doop. A little bit of discussion about warning of taking too many naps. Of course, if I have enough coffee, I won't be able to, so that's good enough. And a little bit of commentary about cancer. I hope that we've tried to share with you tonight kind of gets the wheels turning in your head. Common sense. Make some of your own decisions. Don't fall for the nonsense. Because it's not good for us. Absolutely not good for us one bit. I thank you for being with me tonight. I hope we've been able to share some good things with you. Hey, where's our regular closing music? Where's Elton? All right, we're closing out with something different tonight. You guys take care of yourself and remember, glass lifted on high, I say, to help.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
When they begin,
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
RBN. John Stadtmiller's Republic Broadcasting Network. republicbroadcasting.org.